Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of NLL Live Weekly. My name is Rocco Granato, and for the next 45 minutes to an hour, we'll be talking about NLL lacrosse. Well, by the sound of that opening song, Can't Stop the Rock, if you watched last night's game against the Minnesota Swarm, you can't stop the Rock. 16-4 thrashing of the Minnesota Swarm last night, which they just came right out, and everything that the Toronto Rock did every time they touched the ball, it was nothing but a goal nonstop. We'll go ahead, we'll review the whole entire game, but just alone in at one point, they went on a complete, I believe it looks like a 9-goal run, or even more than that, when Minnesota took the lead at 3-2. Yeah, they went on a 12-goal run, Toronto. I apologize for the barking in the background. My dogs are kind of having a little fit upstairs, so I'm trying to go as best as I can right now. But the Toronto Rock went on a 12-goal run last night. Once Minnesota made the score 3-2, Calen Crawford opened up the scoring at 2:29 with an assist from Miles Thompson and Kyle Matisse. And then Dean Hill followed right after that, just about 2.5 minutes later, to give the Minnesota Swarm a 2-0 lead. Toronto came right back with an extra attacker. Josh Sanderson got his goal at 7:01. Then 6 minutes later, former Swarm player Brock Sorensen, now playing for the Toronto Rock, scored at 13:01. To tie the game at 2 goals apiece. Shane Jackson scored 33 seconds into the second quarter to give Minnesota a 3-2 lead, which would inevitably be their last lead of the game. Because right after that, and I'm gonna run down the times, and you're probably going to sit there and start shaking your heads and try to figure out how did this happen. At 2:09, Rob Hellier scored. 32 seconds later, Stephon LeBlanc put one past Zach Higgins, excuse me. Then at 3:39, Casey Bearns. Then there was about a 3-minute lull for a bit for Toronto, and all the scoring. At 6:28, Stephon LeBlanc again. 7:02, Brett Hickey. 7:16, Patrick Merrill. 7:58, Stephon LeBlanc. 10:21, Casey Bearns. 11:22, Brett Hickey. And then you go into the third quarter, and it just picked right up where it left off. At 14 seconds, Stephon LeBlanc put one in. 1:42, Kevin Ross. And then Damon Edwards put one in at 2:44, where Zach Higgins was trying to get back into the goal. Minnesota was pulling the goaltender, trying to do something, trying to chip away the lead, try to get that extra attacker out there when they had the ball in the offense, but Damon Edwards just put it by Zach Higgins before he can get back between the pipes. As I said, it was 2-2. It looked like Minnesota would make a statement in this game, but that 12-goal run by Toronto just completely put the game away. They outscored them 9-1 in the second quarter, 4-1 in the third, and 1-0 in the fourth to get that victory of 16-4. This was the front end of a home and home. These two teams will face each other again tonight. This time it'll be in Toronto at the ACC Center. So right now Toronto holds a 2-game lead over the Minnesota Swarm. And they could put more distance on them by winning again tonight, putting it as a 3-game lead. But we'll run down some of the stats. As I stated, Brock Sorensen, his one goal, that was his only goal of the game. Jesse Gamble had 2 assists. Patrick Merrill with a goal. Rob Hellier had an off night, so to speak. 1 goal, 3 assists. Brett Hickey with a hat trick and 2 assists. Stephon LeBlanc, 4 goals, 5 assists. Josh Sanderson, 1 goal, 3 assists. So it was so for him. But once you get that big lead, you're going to start resting your big guns out there. Casey Bearns with a hat trick and 2 assists. Brody Merrill, 2 assists. Damon Edwards with the 1 goal. Kevin Ross, 1 goal, 3 assists. So it was very well spread out with the goals. Brett Hickey and Stephon LeBlanc and Casey Bearns scoring 10 out of the 16 goals for the Toronto Rock. For the Minnesota Swarm, there really wasn't much to talk about. Calum Crawford, Logan Schoesch, Shane Jackson, and Dean Hill were the only goal scorers. Miles Thompson only had 1 assist. He only had 5 shots on goal. So it was, you know, really, really tough for Minnesota to get anything going. Miles Thompson turned the ball over 5 times. Logan Schoesch turned it over 4 times. Shane Jackson, 5 times. So right there, you got 14 turnovers, which could go from anything from a shot clock violation to a moving pick or anything in general. But if it's shot clock violations, moving picks, anything that's turning that ball over, you got to give credit to the defense on some of that stuff of the Toronto Rock. The one bright side, I guess you could say, Jordan McIntosh, 15 for 19 on the faceoffs. Both Jordan McIntosh and Logan Schoesch were presented with their plaques. Logan for the 2014 Rookie of the Year, and Jordan McIntosh for being Transition Player of the Year for the second year in a row. So that, I guess, was the one bright side, and that was in the very beginning of the game. The Toronto Rock picked up 75 loose balls to Minnesota's 61. Power plays, there wasn't a whole lot of penalties. You would think a game would go 16-4. You would think there could be some problems. There might be some fights. There could be a lot of chippiness going on. But Toronto was 1-for-2 on the power play. Minnesota was 0-for-3. There was only 9 offenses, 18 penalty minutes in all. A couple holds, roughs, some slashings, but nothing, you know, major. Things kind of got chippy at the end. Rob Marshall and Shane Jackson both got 2-minute roughing penalties towards the end of the game. But I guess that's just, you know, is really a whole bunch of frustration. There was 8,945 in the Hive last night. Very good attendance. It's just a shame that for some reason Minnesota just did not show up. So I'd be really interesting to see Calum Crawford's blog next week on inlacrossewetrust.com. It usually comes out on a Friday, to see how he writes about this game and see if they can get back on track tonight. As Andrew Suter said after the game on Universal Sports, you just got to kind of, put this one away. Nobody showed up, so to speak. You go in, you talk about it. By the time you leave the locker room, you forget about it. You get on the plane, you get into Toronto, you get a good night's sleep, you get your shoot around, you just put this game behind you, and you come back out onto the floor at the ACC Center, which is going to be a tough place to play. So Minnesota's going to have their hands full again, but this team has the talent. And like I said, when you have players such as Calum Crawford, Logan Schoesch, last year's Rookie of the Year, Captain Andrew Suter, Jordan McIntosh, the Transition Player of the Year 2 years in a row. On defense, you got Mitch Belisle, you got Dean Hill, Corbin Tao, who can run the floor, Shane Jackson, who's unbelievably quick for his size. He only stands about, they'd say he's 5'8", 5'9", but I believe he's a little bit smaller than that. He has an unbelievable shot, an unbelievable speed. Alex Krepnicek, Miles Thompson, who's up for Rookie of the Year this year as well with Ben McIntosh on Edmonton. So they have it. It's just a matter of Toronto's defense. If they want to be stingy at any point in time, they will. They will just put on stinginess beyond all recognition. It's just, if they don't want you to score anything, they're just going to say, look, we're not letting you score, and that's how it's going to be. You might as well just put up a brick wall and that's it, and not worry about, even putting a goaltender in there. Brandon Miller played unbelievable last night, stopping 37 of 41 shots. A lot of people thought that maybe in a back-to-back game, you might see Nick Rose play this one and then come back with Brandon Miller. with the way Brandon Miller played last night, only allowing 4 goals. Expect to see him in the net again tonight. Brandon Miller is running hot right now. The man can play. When he came from Chicago and went to Philadelphia, people know how Brandon Miller can play. And when he's on his game, he's unbeatable. And that's just the way he's playing right now. He's on a mission. This Toronto Rock team is on a mission, especially being without Colin Doyle and Garrett Billings. Still don't know when Garrett Billings is going to be coming back, what his status is right now. But this team is clicking on all cylinders without him right now. So there's really no rush to get Garrett Billings back in the lineup for the Toronto Rock. Let him rehab. Let him get stronger and stronger. And by the end of the season, yeah, you're going to want Garrett Billings in the playoffs. So get him in the last couple games to get that rust off, and you have him for the playoffs. No sense of rushing it back if this team is going the way it is. They're 5-1. They scored 80 goals, only let up 57. And they could easily be 6-1 tonight with another win over the Minnesota Swarm. So this Toronto Rock team is for real. A lot of people, myself included, said that, you know, thought they were going to have a very rough time without having Colin Doyle and Garrett Billings in the lineup for at least the first half of the year. Well, they're making me eat a lot of crow along with some others. They are right up there, top of the Eastern Division. Actually, right now, the top of the league, as I said, with a 5-1 record and a game tonight against the Minnesota Swarm. Now we go to the other game, a completely different game than what was played early at the Hive in Minnesota. The Edmonton Rush and the Colorado Mammoth are also in a home-and-home series. Toronto, Minnesota, first and second place teams, home-and-home. Could have changed first place. Looks like Toronto's going to hold on to first place regardless of what happens tonight and the rest of this weekend. They're going to be in first in the East. Edmonton and Colorado. Colorado was 3-1 coming into the game. Edmonton was 2-2. They played last night and they're playing again tomorrow at 4 p.m. There's a 4 p.m. game tomorrow and a 6 p.m. game tomorrow night. So Edmonton and Colorado will finish tomorrow's home-and-home at 4 o'clock in Edmonton. But last night, they were in Colorado. This game was an up-and-back game. It really was until, I would say, the third quarter. So for the first half, we'll say it was up-and-back. Colorado had a 6-5 lead going into the half. Teams alternated goals from the start, from all the way to 3-3 for the whole first quarter. Edmonton, Colorado would just go up and back. Mark Matthews would score for Edmonton. Ethan Iannucci come right back 23 seconds later. And then at 2:59, Mark Matthews would score again. And then 2 minutes later, you have Alex Turner and then Zach Greer at 11:13. And Eli McLaughlin, rookie for Colorado, would score to tie the game at 3 at the end of the first quarter. Second quarter was very much of the same. Colorado came out. John Grant Jr. scored at 5:23, giving Colorado a 4-3 lead. Then Edmonton would score the next two, followed by Colorado scoring the next two. The one giving Colorado the lead 6-5 was by Joey Caputo at 14:59. With a second to go in the half, Caputo put one in to give Colorado, their last lead of the game at 6-5. Because when that third quarter started, it was a totally different Edmonton team that came out. Edmonton would go on and score the only 3 goals in the third quarter and actually go on a 6-goal run. You go into the half down 6-5. You start the third quarter. Robert Church scores at 58 seconds. Zach Greer at 1:45. Robert Church's goal was on the power play, by the way. Zach Greer at 1:45. Then Mark Matthews at 13:26. So you go at whole, almost a good 12 minutes without either team scoring. So that says a lot for the defense and the goaltending because both teams had plenty of opportunities, plenty of chances, and the goaltending with Dylan Ward and Aaron Bold was just phenomenal with both teams. So you had that 12-minute span where nothing was scored. And like I said, Mark Matthews at 13:26. That gave Edmonton an 8-6 lead. Then in the fourth quarter, they just picked up right where they left off. At 2:02, Zach Greer again. Then Ben McIntosh got his goal of the game at the 2:59 mark. And then Robert Church scored to give an 11-6 lead. So Edmonton went on a 6-goal run from the start of the second half all the way to the 7:33 mark to halfway through the fourth quarter. So for 22 minutes and 33 seconds, it was all Edmonton. And if you let a team like the Edmonton Rush do that to you, you're going to get burnt. You're not going to be able to do anything. You're not going to be able to come back. You let teams go on runs like that, and you can't respond. This is what happens. The only goal Colorado scored in that second half was by Alex Turner with the extra attacker on, and that goal was scored at 13:48. So you have a final score of Edmonton 11, Colorado 7. That win puts Edmonton and Colorado in a tie for first place, but because of the tiebreakers, and this is the first time they play each other head-to-head, Edmonton is technically in first place. Now, as I said, they face each other again tomorrow night, 4 p.m. That undoubtedly will be another heck of a game between these teams. Now, that game's going to be on NLL Live. The three games tonight are going to be on NLL Live as well. That's a $30 package. You get to see all the games on NLL Live. All 42 games, if you got it from the beginning of the year on, you can still watch the replays of them. It's all included in that $30 package. I know a lot of people have had problems with it. I started to have a problem with it at first, but I was told the easiest thing to do, and I said this last week, clear out your cache. Make sure that is the only link open on your computer screen, whether you're running it off a desktop, a laptop. If you're just watching on an iPad, you're fine, but make sure it's the only application opened on your computer for the NLL Live. Other than that, I haven't had any problems. So you have the three games tonight. Colorado Edmonton tomorrow is on NLL Live. So you can expect another bang-em-out game between Colorado and Edmonton. This one will be in Edmonton. As far as loose balls go, Colorado picked up 67 to Edmonton's 53. Edmonton went 1-for-3 on the power play. Colorado went 1-for-8. But here's the thing. They went 1-for-8 on the power play, but they also let up a shorthanded goal. So technically, they went 0-for-8. Even though they scored on the power play, they let up a shorthanded goal. So that's kind of, it cancels each other, out. Edmonton went 1-for-3, and that was Robert Church scoring 58 seconds into the third quarter. You had a bench miner for Edmonton towards the end of the game, but other than that, nothing. Ethan Iannucci got a roughing major. That was the only real major penalty, we'll say. That was at the 4:59 mark of the second quarter, where he came up high with a stick or a punch, but they didn't call it a cross check, they called it a rough. So he got a 5-minute major. Luckily for Ethan, like I said, they did score. They were able to hold it off. That was where Mark Matthews, they let up that shorthanded goal, scored at 10:09 of the second. So that was on while they were shorthanded. So Edmonton, kind of took advantage while they were shorthanded. No power play goals were scored there. So Colorado did something good there, but not enough to get the win. They let them go on that six-goal run, which kind of took the steam out of the Mammoth. The attendance at the game was 16,082 at the Pepsi Center. Colorado is known for their big crowds, and these people do not leave until the game is done. And that's the same way they were last night. They were there to the very end as this game went tooth and nail up and back. Now, for Colorado, Sean Pollock had 3 assists. Adam Jones was a scratch in this game. I didn't catch why. I don't know if it was work-related or if there's an injury to him. We'll see. Should he be playing on Sunday at 4 o'clock? Cam Holding with 2 assists. Ethan Iannucci with a goal. John Grant Jr., 2 goals, 3 assists. Drew Westervelt only had 1 assist last night. So that was a big hold for Edmonton. They stopped Drew Westervelt from putting the ball in the back of the net. Eli McLaughlin with a goal and an assist. Joey Caputo with a goal. Alex Turner with 2 goals. And that was really, really it. You hold John Grant to only 2 goals. Drew Westervelt doesn't score. You have no Adam Jones in that game. You're hoping for scoring from other people, from Sean Pollock, from Robert Hope. Eli McLaughlin, you're hoping he can step up a little bit more. He had the 1 goal. So, what are you going to Alex Turner with 2 goals. So, Turner and Grant had 4 of the 7 goals. You need more to step up when you're missing a player with the stature of Adam Jones. Everybody really needs to completely step up there. Bobby Snyder went 16 for 21 on the faceoffs. Dylan Ward was saddled with the loss. He stopped 34 of 45 shots, while Aaron Bold collected the win for Edmonton, stopping 31 of 38 shots. Now, as I said, we have 5 more games this weekend. We had a total of 7 games for week number 7. So tonight, on Valentine's Day. So let me say right now, to all the ladies out there, to my family, to my wife, to my daughter, happy Valentine's Day. Enjoy the day. Guys, take your women out. Yes, I know there's 3 lacrosse games, but guess what? I'm missing the games. It's Valentine's Day. Gotta go. There's nothing you can really do about it. You just watch the replay of it. Maybe I'll take a peek of it on the phone while we're at dinner. Maybe my wife may even say, hey, put the 1 game on. Let's watch one of the games while we're at dinner. Don't know, but it's Valentine's Day. I'll just watch the replay of the games tonight. Now, they are at 7 p.m. Now, all these games are on NL Live tonight. Minnesota will be at Toronto. That game is at 7 p.m. It also could be seen on TSN.ca. This is going to be another, I believe, bang-em-out game. It should be. Depending on how well they play, Toronto could see another 16-4 game, or we can see a complete turnaround. We could see a close game. We could see Minnesota do with what Toronto did. So, I mean, you really don't know, but I don't think personally that Minnesota can come back and beat Toronto in Toronto. After the beating they took last night, I truly don't know. Toronto is riding on a high right now. They have a lot of momentum on their side. They're playing very well. If they just play the same type of game that they played last night, or even half the game that they played last night, they're going to come out with another win and a sweep of the 2-game season series over the Minnesota Swarm. These are the only 2 times these teams are facing each other. So you're just looking at it, and you got to hope that this is what actually happens, that the Minnesota Swarm can come back and do what is needed to actually win the game. We have another big game in the East. Now, let me just real quick, I'm going to jump back to Minnesota-Toronto. A loss by Minnesota in this game will put them 3 games out of first place with 11 games to go. Still very much in the hunt, but that's going to put them 3 games behind Toronto, plus Toronto would hold the tiebreaker. So it's technically like a 4-game lead. So Minnesota can really use this win, and it'll put them back within a game of first place Toronto. At 7:30, again on NLL Live, Rochester is visiting Buffalo. Another big game. Rochester defeated Buffalo. I believe they defeated Buffalo earlier in the season. Yes, it was 17-11 just 2 weeks ago. This was a game that Rochester had a 10-4 lead. They gave up the lead. Buffalo scored 7 straight, taking an 11-10 lead. Then Rochester turned around and scored the next 7. Agnes Goodleaf came in to relieve Matt Vince and got the win for Rochester back on January 31st at the War Memorial. So, what will we see this week? We're going to see the same type of game. We know when Buffalo is playing at the First Niagara Center, they are a very, very tough team. It could be, it could be the type of game where if Rochester does open up that lead again, a 5 or 6 goal lead, we'll say, and Buffalo comes back and scores those 6 goals, they may score more than 6. They may not allow Rochester to score again, because that's how they are on their own floor. So this is also a very big game for Rochester, as they have 2 games this weekend. Buffalo is now at 4-3. They've played 7 games so far. They've played every single, on an average every single week. A couple times they've played 2 games over the weekend. But they're sitting at 4-3. A Buffalo win and a Toronto loss puts Buffalo only a half a game out. Now, Buffalo's sitting at a game and a half out. A Toronto win and a Buffalo loss, like I said, it's going to put some separation here. Toronto will now be 2.5 up on Buffalo, 3 up on Minnesota. Rochester would stay the same at 2.5 with the win. So Rochester won't gain any ground tonight. Tomorrow night they can. They can gain a half game back when they play tomorrow night on their second end of a double dose weekend, I'll call it. But as I said, Toronto could really put a lot of distance. Even if Rochester, if Rochester loses both games this weekend, it's going to put them at least 3 back, if not 4, depending on what Toronto does. So it's very big. As I said last weekend, this is going to be a tell-all weekend. Things could either stay the same, things can flip-flop, or teams can kind of put distance between each other. With Toronto, they can put distance, a win in their game, and they can start putting some distance. They will put a little distance between them and Minnesota, and it all depends on what Buffalo does with Rochester tonight. Stephen Keough back in the lineup. This will be his 2nd game back. He kind of shook the rust off last week. You can look for him to really start getting more involved as he starts getting his legs underneath him and gets in game, I guess, game ready, so to speak, starts getting more of those hits, which gets you more. It's different in practice than in a game. You're like, okay, yes, you're game ready. You went through the practices, you went through the motions. Getting hit in practice is totally different than when you get hit in the game, and everybody knows that. So look for this game. Look for Stephen Keough to bust out on this game, to get those open shots and start putting the ball past Anthony Cosmo. It's going to be a tough game. This is really going to be tough, because right now, if a Rochester win, Buffalo loss, Rochester will be 3-3. Buffalo goes to 4-4. So both teams will be at 500. Then after that, you're going to have Rochester playing again on Sunday night. But with Buffalo facing Rochester, You got to look at Anthony Cosmo playing between the pipes right now. He's very well on his game. Matt Vince had a little bit of a rough start 2 weeks ago, but look for him to come back and come back strong when they're playing up against Buffalo. Dane Smith has been playing outstanding. Last week, 5 goals, 5 assists. You can look for him to step up along with Mark Steinhaus. Johnny Tavares is still obviously out for the Buffalo Bandits. He's going to be out for at least another four or five weeks minimum. So you insert Jerome Thompson. The rookie Jerome Thompson, yes, the name Thompson, you hear it all throughout the NLL, related to Miles Thompson. Whether he's a cousin, a brother, it's just, it's going to be constant. The kid is playing phenomenal right now. Jerome Thompson is stepping in and taking the place of Johnny Tavares. When Tavares comes back after playing 24 years, we don't know how much longer he's going to be able to play. I know we don't like to see Tavares go out this way, but with the injuries he's had over the past few years, you really don't know how much more does a man like JT have in the tank. Fans would want to see him go out on his own. Go out, I guess you could say, on top or playing as strong as he normally does. So that's where you have the big game right there with Rochester and Buffalo. At 10 o'clock, you got Calgary at Vancouver. This Calgary Roughneck team is sitting at 0-5, and they are in desperate need of a win. A loss tonight puts them at 0-6, and it puts them down to losing 2 of the 3 games to Vancouver. It'll move Vancouver to 3-3, give Vancouver a 3-game lead over them, along with the tiebreaker. So Calgary really needs to step up, because they have them this week, and next week they play Vancouver. So this is a good chance for Calgary to kind of get back on track. They've had some moral victories, but the moral victories do not count in the standings right now in the National Lacrosse League. Again, I got to apologize. My dog's running around upstairs. I don't have a soundproof basement. So every once in a while, things get a little bit crazy. So I have to apologize for that again. But that's what happens when you have animals and they start playing with each other upstairs and going crazy. Who knows? Maybe I can find a soundproof basement one time. But, you know, it is what it is. And I hope you stick through it and just, you know, understand. So now, as I said, Calgary and Vancouver. Calgary's at 0-5. Frank Siciliano has gotten to start the last couple games for the Calgary Roughnecks. Mike Poon has been riding, I guess, as they would like to say, the Pine Pony for Calgary. So hopefully something gets on track this week, whether it's Calgary, whether it's Mike Poon. But Calgary is in desperate need of a win. You know, they're sitting 3 games out of first. It's, you know, a loss here. I mean, it's already been devastating as it is. A team that was in the Champions Cup final is now, you know, looking for some help, so to speak. It just won't. You know, it's just not picking up for them the way it should right now. 0-5. Sean Evans is having a good year. He's scoring the goals. He's getting the assists. But something's not right. Is it, you know, the retirement of Scott Ranger? Did he mean that much to the offense and to the way the whole game is played for Calgary? Or, what's going on? So this game is going to be very tough. You had the retirement of Lewis Ratcliffe, which means that Johnny Palas is going to get a lot more touches of the ball. Last game, he had 4 goals. So, I mean, you know, in the 16-13 win over Colorado back on January 31st, he got enough touches. He put 4 goals in there. I believe he also had 4 assists in that game. 2 or 4 assists. I can't quite remember, but I know he had a few assists in that game. So, you know, Johnny Palas is starting to get on track here. it could really start to spell trouble because this team has a lot of talent. You got Reese Dutch. Now you got Johnny Palace out there, and you got Joel McCready. You got these players out there for Vancouver, and they just have to hit their stride. Sitting at 2-3, they're only a game out of first place. That isn't much. So the West is a total coin flip right now, with Calgary slowly fading into the sunset unless they kind of get back on track this week. So there's the three games that you have this weekend. You got Rochester at Buffalo at 7:30, NLL Live. Minnesota at Toronto at 7 p.m. on NLL Live. And at 10 p.m., you got Calgary at Vancouver. That game is at 10 p.m. And all these games are also on TSN.ca for our friends north of the border up in Canada. Tomorrow at 4 p.m., rematch, Colorado at Edmonton. Expect this game to be the same way as last night's game was, maybe even a little closer. I mean, either team can go on runs. It could flip-flop around. You could have Colorado going on a 6 or 7 goal run. We could have a high-scoring game, or we can have a 7-6 game, like we had last week with Minnesota and Rochester. It all depends what team shows up for Edmonton and which team shows up for Colorado. If Colorado starts putting the ball in the net, no doubt Edmonton can run with them and do the same thing with players like Robert Church, Robert Hope, Jordan McIntosh, Ben McIntosh, Mark Matthews. You just got a load of players there, Zach Greer. So at any given time, they can open it up as well. So it could go up and back. You got two great goaltenders. You got Dylan Ward, who's going to be a premier goaltender in this league. And you got Aaron Bold, who has proven himself over and over again to be one of the best goaltenders in the National Lacrosse League. So that game is going to be very interesting to watch, to see who comes out on top. Whoever wins that game will have first place. If Edmonton wins it, they'll have first place by game. They'll also hold the tiebreaker for the time being with a 2-0 advantage. And I don't think they play each other. I'm looking at the schedule. They play each other on May 2nd. And they play each other again on April 18th. So they play each other four times, which means it would force Colorado to win those next two. Otherwise, that tiebreaker is going to swing in Edmonton's way. Then the next game is, I think it's going to be a big game for Rochester, especially after tonight's game. But they go back up to the Mohegan Sun, and they face the New England Black Wolves. The last time these two teams played at the Mohegan Sun, New England put a hurting on the Rochester Nighthawks, and they beat them 17-7. As I said before, this was a statement that was done by the New England Black Wolves when they were formerly the Philadelphia Wings. Rochester always had their number and was always putting a hurting on them, whether it be 17-7, or a couple times there was 20-10, or 22-11. There was just a number of times that the Nighthawks would just, the game's played, you play 60 minutes. If you have the chance to score, you throw the ball at the net before the 30-second shot clock goes off. It goes in, it goes in. It's not your fault if the other team can't stop it. Well, this is what New England did to Rochester back on January 10th. 17-7 thrashing. Of what will happen this week? Past couple games, New England has not been playing all that well. January 24th, they fall to Minnesota 19-13 at home. Then they travel to Edmonton. Edmonton doubles them up on January 30th, 18-9. So their last two games, both losses, they were outscored by a count of 37-22. Total of 52 goals this year. 37 of them just came in the last two games. The defense has been invisible in those last two games. And when you got players like Brett Manny back there, and transition players with Joel White and Mike Manley back there, and you got a set group of strong defensemen. They shouldn't be getting beat the way they did the last two games. So it's obvious they had to go back to square one. They had 2 weeks to let these two games really sink in. And now we'll get to see what plan they come up with, what scheme, what patchwork they did, how did they fix it? Did they do a complete overhaul? Did they remodel the whole thing? Or did they just put some patches here and there to try to steer the bus the right way on course and slowly get it back to the way it was in the beginning of the year when they won their first two games? But Rochester at New England, and I can almost guarantee this, if Rochester starts sensing blood, they start getting up 4 or 5 goal lead, and you see New England trying to push the game and forcing shots, what have you, Rochester's going to take advantage of every single opportunity. So it wouldn't surprise me one bit if it turns around and you see a 17-7 Nighthawk win, or you see a huge win, a 10-goal win, or an 8-9-goal win by the Nighthawks. Then again, same thing could happen with New England. You got Kevin Crowley. You got Mark Cockerton. I mean, you just go right on down the line. You got the Buchanans, Kyle and Kevin Buchanan on there who put the ball in there. Pat Saunders, who's playing, as I said over and over again, phenomenal. After having cups of coffee here and there when he first came into the league, he's somewhere where he's staying now. He got into the lineup. He cemented his feet into the lineup. So they have the talent to put the ball in the net. It's just they can't go forcing shots when they start getting behind by 3-4 goals. Take your time. Set your plays up. You got plenty of time in the game. Don't force it. If you force it, it's going to be a two-goal swing. You're going to fire a shot that was really unnecessary. The other team's going to come down, possibly score, and that's it. Evan Kirk, other than these last two games, has played phenomenal as well. This team has come around. But Sunday at 6 o'clock, this game is on Watch ESPN. It's on ESPN3. So anybody who gets ESPN3 through your cable provider or you can get it online, watch this game. This is going to be very interesting to see what happens in this game with the Nighthawks and the Black Wolves. This is game 2 of their season series. Their third one isn't until April 25th. That will be in Rochester. So after tonight, they don't see each other for 2 months. So a New England win would obviously give them a full game and a half, maybe even more, over Rochester. See what they do tonight, as I said. But it'll also give New England the tiebreaker with a win tonight. So not only does Rochester want to get this win to pull even at, or maybe even above 500, be 4-3 should they win tonight, but they want to even the season series with New England. Because the one thing you don't want to have happen is you don't want to be down below the team to begin with, but also lose the tiebreaker, because now you're going to have to beat them outright in the standings right now. Because you got New England sitting in fourth, Rochester in fifth. Those two teams are out of the playoff picture right now, if you go by the tiebreakers and everything. Because you have Toronto, Buffalo, then Minnesota. So you need to do something. Considering that Rochester lost to Minnesota last week in overtime, that's another hurdle that they have to overcome. They have to beat them next time that they play each other. So obviously this weekend is very big for Rochester. Two losses could be real trouble for the Nighthawks. Two wins, they're right back in the thick of things with it right now. So anything can happen, like I said, in these next five games that are being played between tonight and tomorrow. Now, next week, we have one game on a Friday. So I'll go through that game right now. You got New England at Toronto. That, I don't know, with the way, regardless of what New England does this weekend, they're going to the ACC Center. The way Toronto's playing right now, I don't see them being stopped, especially at home. Especially if they win tonight, then they go into next week's Friday game with New England coming into town. It's going to be really, really, you know, tough for New England. So you could be seeing possibly a 4-game losing streak for New England. I mean, but, you know, if we go by things, you know, the games on paper, yeah, anybody can write it down on paper, oh, this team wins, this team wins, this team loses, and that's it. Why bother playing the games? This is why we play the games. Sure, a lot of people say, yeah, Toronto was going to beat Minnesota. But I don't think a lot of people thought that there was going to be a thrashing of 16-4. And I can almost guarantee you, nobody thought that New England, back on January 10th, was going to beat Rochester the way they did 17-10. And I don't think there's one person out there that would even think that right now Calgary would be sitting at 0-5. The two teams that played for the Champions Cup final last year have a combined record of 2-8. Who would have predicted that? Who would have predicted the team from the West that was fighting for the Champions Cup came within 3 minutes of winning it in that minigame? And needed a last-second save from Matt Vince to knock them out of the Champions Cup, to take the cup away from them. I mean, you go from that to now you're 0-5. Nobody would have ever thought this. Nobody. That's why we play the games. That's why it's not done on paper. Like I said, anything can happen tonight. 7 p.m. tonight. As I said, all the games tonight are on NLL Live and TSN.ca. Minnesota at Toronto, 7 p.m. Rochester at Buffalo at 7:30. Calgary is at Vancouver at 10 p.m. Tomorrow, two games. Colorado at Edmonton, 4 p.m. That's also on NLL Live. And then at 6 p.m., you got Rochester at New England on Watch ESPN. And then next Friday, New England is at Toronto. That's on NLL Live. That's what we have for tonight, tomorrow, and the one game on Friday before we do our normal Saturday show and we preview the games that are going to be the other three games for next week. On February 28th, this was just announced the other, I believe in the beginning of the week, the Rochester Nighthawks are going to induct number 27, Casey Zaff, into their Hall of Fame. This is long overdue. Casey Zaff should have been put in this Rochester Hall of Fame a few years ago, easily, with no ifs, ands, or buts. He's been a class guy all through his career until an unfortunate injury. Sidelined him where he could not play anymore. But he's always a constant gentleman to the game. In his interview, he mentioned about the Crew Hawks, the Nighthawk fan club. He mentioned about President Tim Nabb, otherwise known as Nabber, how they always support the team, how he was one of his closest friends when he came on to the Nighthawks. This is one of the reasons that the fans go out to these games. Players like Casey Zaff recognize the fans and knows them by name. Whether you become lifelong friends with them or not, there's always something about certain fans that stay in the players' minds. And these are guys, like I said, that play for the love of the game, not for the almighty dollar. So on February 28th, prior to Calgary playing Rochester, Casey Zaff will be put into the Nighthawk Hall of Fame. I am hoping to get a nice little one-on-one interview with Casey that I could go ahead and play on the show so everybody can hear it, or just post it right up on the InLacrosseWeTrust.com website. So that'll be coming up in 2 weeks. But right now, let's go over the standings right now. As I said, in the West, the Edmonton Rush and the Colorado Mammoth are both sitting at 3-2. After Edmonton's win last night, teams will have their rematch tomorrow in Edmonton, 4 p.m. winner of that game will obviously have first place. The Vancouver Stealth are sitting at 2-3. They're one game out of first place. They have a game tonight with the Calgary Roughnecks. A Vancouver win will keep them still a game out, but it'll vault them into a tie for second place. So this is a big game for Vancouver. Calgary is at 0-5. As I said, they're facing Vancouver. This is a very big game for them. A loss here sits at 0-6. They got to start thinking, do we just start mortgaging the team? Do we start sending, do we start trading people? Do we start getting some youth on this team and just worry about rebuilding this year and next year and take it from there? What do we do? 0-6. We've lost, they would have lost two games to Vancouver with another one coming up next week. So what, you know, what do they do? I don't see that happening. I see them coming up with a victory tonight over Vancouver. I really do, even though it's on the road. I think it will. Just being on the road might take a little bit of the pressure off, even though they're 0-2 on the road as well. But I don't see them being 0-6. I didn't see them being 0-5, but it happened. So we'll see what happens with that game tonight. In the East, right now Toronto's starting to distance themselves. They're sitting at 5-1. Buffalo is a game and a half out at 4-3. Minnesota is in third at 3-3, two games out with a rematch with Toronto tonight. New England is at 2-2. They have their only game of the weekend tomorrow at home against Rochester. And the aforementioned Rochester Nighthawks are now at 2-3, two and a half games out. Still have two games this weekend. Tonight, they're in Buffalo, and tomorrow, they're in New England. So two big games for the Rochester Nighthawks where they would need to come up. They come up with two huge wins. It could vault them from last place to most likely second place, second if not third at the very most. So they could vault right over a couple teams with two wins this weekend. Now, we look at the scoring leaders. Right now, Ryan Benesch and Sean Evans are tied with 40 points. But as I said, Buffalo's played seven games. Calgary's only played five. So Sean Evans actually has two games in hand to get the points. So you could see Evans kind of vaulting up there. Dane Smith has 39 points. Josh Sanderson, 38. Rob Hellier with 35. John Grant Jr. with 33. And then Mark Steenhouse, Calum Crawford, and Reese Dutch all with 32. And Mark Matthews with 31. There's your top 10 for points. When you look at your goal leaders, your scoring leaders, Ryan Benesch has 21. Mark Matthews with 17. Dane Smith, 16. Sean Evans with 15. And then Rob Hellier, Brett Hickey, both with 14. And then Adam Jones, Shane Jackson, Curtis Dixon, and Casey Bearns all tied for 7th with 13 goals, I'm sorry. So you see how everything is going for the goal scorers right now. Like I said, though, Ryan Benesch is leading with 21 goals, but he's played 7 games so far. Some teams have only played 5. So you can see what happens. Your loose ball leaders right now. Jay Thornbear for Buffalo with 88 loose balls. Jordan McIntosh with 69. Bobby Snyder on Colorado with 56. Joel White with 54. You got to go a little bit further down and find Jeff Snyder sitting in 6th with 48 loose balls right now. That's also part of, I guess you could say, maybe the problem there. Jeff Snyder's not picking up the loose balls like as usual. He's only averaging about 9 a game. Other players, Jay Thornbear is averaging over 11. He's averaging just over 12 loose balls a game. Jordan McIntosh is almost at the 12. He's at about 11 and a half. Bobby Snyder's at 11 per game. And Joel White is sitting at 16 loose balls a game. In 4 games, he's picked up 54 loose balls. So it's 13.2 a game for Joel White, who has really come along for this New England Black Wolves team. So that's what you have so far as your goals, your points, and your loose ball leaders. Went ahead through the standings. As I said, tonight, three big games all on NL Alive. You have Minnesota at Toronto with the rematch at 7. Rochester at Buffalo, 7:30. Calgary at Vancouver at 10 p.m. Sunday, Colorado's at Edmonton at 4. And at 6, you have Rochester at New England. That's your rundown for this weekend. For anything else lacrosse, go to inlacrossewetrust.com. You have some fantastic articles, some written by me, written by other staff members. Marissa and Jimmy does a fantastic job running that site, making sure all the information is correct that goes up on there. You will not find any information that is incorrect on that site. Make sure that everything is always backed up with the information, quotes or stats or what have you. Look for my power rankings. Will be out on Tuesday. 3 stars will be out on Monday. And as I said, it's Valentine's Day. Guys, do something nice for the ladies. Enjoy the weekend. Don't drink and drive. Enjoy the games. Go out, support your teams out there. If you're in New England, go out and support them in Edmonton, Vancouver, Buffalo, Toronto, Minnesota, Calgary, everywhere, Rochester. Go out, support the teams. You meet the guys, you get them. They're all first-class guys throughout the whole entire league. They always have time for you, whether it's just signing an autograph, taking a picture, talking to you. You'll never run into anybody that will not turn that they will not turn their back on you. So go out, enjoy the games, support the NLL. With that being said, my name is Rocco Granato. I thank you for listening. As I said, enjoy the games tonight. Guys, ladies, happy Valentine's Day. Enjoy the night. Treat the women well, guys. They deserve it. It's their day. They should treat you well. Also, it's Valentine's Day. Show the love out there. Good luck to all the teams. I thank everybody for listening, and I'll talk to you again next week.